And joining us today from Climate Smart Glacier Country, we have Flathead Land Trust's Paul Travis. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, John. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for joining us today. Robin is with me, too.
Yeah, I'm right here. Welcome aboard, Paul.
Talk with us about the unprecedented growth and change here in the Flathead. My gosh, it just seems like we're growing like weeds around here, so to speak. And this is causing some issues for us.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. Yeah, I mean, I think everyone can attest to the unprecedented growth that we're seeing, especially in the last couple of years since the pandemic. We're seeing huge spikes in growth. We were already growing pretty fast. And in fact, for many years, we were the second fastest growing area in Montana, just behind the Bozeman area. Now, after 2020 census data has come out just recently in the last couple months, it is showing that Flathead County is now the fastest growing area in Montana. We've surpassed Gallatin County. And from July 1st of 2020 to July 1st of 2021, it showed that Flathead County added a little over 3,600 residents, by far the most in the state. That's a 3.5% rate of growth, and grows our population to over 108,000 in the county. And also puts Kalispell as now the fastest growing micropolitan city in the United States above anywhere else. So that's a distinction that, you know, some people may like, but other people may not like. So certainly with that level of growth at that speed, it provides a lot of challenges, I will say for sure.
One of the things that we've been told over the years by the, particularly the larger retail outlets, is they're looking for communities with over 150,000. That seems to be a level that they feel like they can really do business. And they've been kind of waiting for the Flathead to turn into an area that's got a critical mass of 150,000 people. And that's what they say they will start moving in here and filling up our shopping centers and our malls and all of that. We're not there yet.
No, we're not quite there yet. Certainly, you know, growth can be a good thing. Absolutely, you know, can see the value in growth that, you know, as long as we can build the capacity for it, build the infrastructure, have the ability to have homes for the people that are moving here, that's all great. But right now what we're seeing is growth that's somewhat unsustainable. And we're also losing some open space, some of our agricultural lands, other places that we didn't really expect to lose just because they're getting converted to residential development before our eyes. So not to say that, you know, certainly there's got to be growth somewhere and houses need to go somewhere. Absolutely believe that. But sometimes there's certain places that are too precious to lose, and we want to make sure that we hang on to those. And that's where our organization comes in, to work with landowners on a voluntary basis to conserve their property through conservation easements, to make sure that we can hang on to those prime tracts of farmland, some of the precious wildlife habitat that we have here down in the valley, and the beautiful open spaces that we have.
Are you and your organization of the opinion that this growth that we're seeing is going to continue, that people are going to continue to pour into the Flathead?
You know, there's so many factors that play into that. Certainly because of what happened during the pandemic, and that folks can really work anywhere. You know, remote work is much more of a common thing than it was before, I think. And a lot of people, you know, made some life changes. You know, they said, well, I want to live where I want to live for the quality of life. Certainly the Flathead Valley and this part of Montana have a high quality of life. And so folks want to live here. They just couldn't make it work financially or with their work in the past. But now a lot of folks can. And so I don't see it changing anytime soon. I don't know how far that will go, because I'm not an expert in that field. But certainly I don't see it stopping anytime soon.
Well, see, the thing I'm looking at here is I'm looking at it and I say, okay, where's the retail support? We don't have grocery stores that can sustain it. We have grocery stores that are overcrowded with people all the time. We can't seem to keep the shelves filled with product. We have transportation issues. We have traffic jams that we never had before, and we don't seem to be able to keep up with that. And we don't seem to have a plan to get ahead of that. I don't see, we're having trouble staffing our fire and police departments in all of our cities, including our county. I don't see how we can sustain this population growth, Paul.
Yeah, no, you have that's a very good point. It does feel very unsustainable based on the fact that we just can't keep up. It's growth that's happening very fast, and so it's a very tough thing, no matter how well you plan, to keep up with it. But certainly there's just not a lot of things in place to plan for that growth and plan for the future here at such a fast rate. You know, on our end of things, the thing that Flathead Land Trust does, we're doing everything that we can to work with landowners and to conserve some of these pieces of land that we want to make sure that we can pass down to our kids and our grandkids, the next generation. But, you know, it's it's kind of like swimming with your head just an inch below the surface of the water a little bit. It's going very fast. Well, but there are some glimmers of hope, too.
Well, you're part of the Land Trust, Paul Travis, and climate change is certainly something we're having to consider, too, and we'll consider that with you right after this. From the Flathead Land Trust, we have Paul Travis with us, Paul. Paul, talk about climate change now, what we're experiencing today. And, you know, there's a big debate on these greenhouse gases. Is it human activity or is it just natural history?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to really touch on that. But what I do want to touch on is just, you know, we know that greenhouse gases are causing the atmosphere to warm up. I mean, these gases trap heat from the sun. Essentially, they just over-insulate the earth, and we're seeing changes, you know, changes in weather patterns. We're seeing changes just on the landscape, too, you know, more droughts, more fires, things like that. And, you know, it seems like they're occurring at a you know, more often over time, especially these last couple of years. One thing that land conservation does that maybe sometimes people don't think of initially when they think of climate change mitigation is that, you know, undeveloped forests and other undeveloped lands can absorb greenhouse gases by keeping them and keep them out of the atmosphere. Land conservation really plays an important role in responding to climate change because the land can capture carbon and other greenhouse gases. Provides refuge for plants and animals as well as the climate changes and acts as a natural buffer along waterways, riverbeds, things of that nature, especially if there's flooding events. And it serves as an important role in absorbing rainfall during intense rain events. Certainly, if you have open land, agricultural land, forested land, that rainfall is going to go where it needs to go instead of just running off. So, you know, I think just land conservation in general provides mitigation for climate change that I think is good for people to know about. In fact, natural habitats, farmland, prairies, forests, naturally absorb approximately 15% of the United States carbon dioxide emissions. And that's a pretty big benefit. But it's something that we could stand to lose if we continue to convert farmland, open land, forested land over to development.
Okay, now, I know that we're kind of at a critical point because of the rainforests being depleted and so forth. So this has a worldwide effect as well as locally or here in this country, correct?
Yeah. No, that is correct. Conversion of forests, you know, losing a lot of our trees. And, you know, I think one thing that you can think about with conservation is retaining forests, but also working forests, private land forests. You know, that's a big part of our conservation portfolio. We work with local timber companies like Stoltz, Land and Lumber. They're a working timber company, and making sure that they have lands conserved in perpetuity so that they can continue to grow trees and harvest trees in a sustainable way. That's another big objective of ours and objective of conservation, keeping those lands intact for connected wildlife habitat and just to have enough open space and enough open lands to help mitigate the effects of climate change. Another thing that conservation does that I mentioned earlier is, you know, provides refuge. As the climate changes and wildlife are impacted, they're going to need more and more habitat and open space, especially high-quality habitat, to provide refuge. Otherwise, they're either going to be moving somewhere else or, not being able to survive in the conditions. So that's another thing that land conservation really provides.
Well, and I want to jump right into some of the things you guys are working on here in the Flathead, and Robin will ask you that after this.
Well, our guest this morning is Paul Travis, Climate Smart Glacier Country Flathead Land Trust, the subject matter, and you've mentioned land conservation, a land conservation easement. What does that mean in terms of the property? Because it sounds like you're getting farmers or organizations to voluntarily put this land into an easement. What does that mean as far as development on the property or whatever?
Yeah, no, great question. So the bulk of our work involves working with private landowners to place what's called a conservation easement on their property, which restricts development on their property, keeps the property intact, protects the conservation values on that property. I'll explain that a little bit, but it is voluntary. It's really based on the landowner wanting to do this. We work with the landowner to negotiate the terms of the conservation easement, and then we all sign off on it. And that document is a legal document that, it's filed with the county, and it's a deed of conservation easement, and that conserves those conservation values. Conservation values can be agricultural land and soils. They can be wildlife habitat. They can be wetlands or the land around wetlands. They can also be forested land and just the open space values as well. So there's a lot of different things that can go into what a conservation value is. And then a lot of times the landowner will receive some sort of incentive, a financial incentive or a tax incentive for essentially putting their land and restricting their land for development. That's beneficial to the landowner. Certainly any landowner that does this, there needs to be a desire to do it. It doesn't always pencil out financially versus selling to a developer. But certainly, I would say any farmer or any large landowner that we've worked with, they never want to split apart their property and sell pieces off. They want to keep it intact. And financially, especially in this day and age, they're finding that that's harder and harder to do. And to make sure that they can continue their operations on that land. We provide an option to those landowners to do that, where we can continue to keep that land intact and provide that financial incentive or financial benefit to them for doing so, and just the peace of mind that it's never going to change forever. These protections are in perpetuity. So that's essentially, in a nutshell, what a conservation easement is. We've done quite a few over the years. We got our start in 1985, and we've been doing conservation easements mostly over the course of those years.
Okay.
And right now we're sitting at about 14,000 acres of land conserved through conservation easements.
Okay. Are these permanent? Once you do this?
Yeah. The type of conservation easement that we do are permanent. And the reason being is, that is what you need to do as far as to get the tax incentive. The IRS provides one of the most generous tax incentives for donating a conservation easement, but it does need to be in perpetuity. And for something like a conservation easement, it just makes sense to make it in perpetuity. So it's one of the most lasting protections you can provide for your land. And that's peace of mind for these landowners and for the community in general to know that these lands will never change into the future, especially with a quickly changing landscape around us.
I'm thinking of the forest changing hands. We had Weyerhaeuser and that change in our forests here. Easements were involved. Do those easements, are they purchased by the new owner, and do they honor those then?
So no matter who the owner is, you know, when the land transfers over to a new owner over time, the easement transfers over as well. And so the new owner just acquires the property along with the easement and the restrictions that the easement has placed on the property. Okay. So that does never go away, no matter who the owner is over time. A lot of those easements on some of that timberland west of Kalispell that used to be Weyerhaeuser ground, those are purchased conservation easements with those timber companies. So there's a lot of federal grants and other places where land trusts like ours can get funding to help purchase those, essentially purchase the development rights of the property so that the property stays intact. The landowner can continue to harvest timber in a sustainable way, but it keeps the land intact for wildlife habitat and for open space and for the ability to harvest timber.
Paul, what are you working on now? What is the Flathead Trust? What have you recently completed?
Oh boy. Yeah, we've been working on a lot of different things. You've probably heard about the Bad Rock Canyon Wildlife Management Area. We worked with the state of Montana, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, to conserve 772 acres up near Columbia Falls and create that new wildlife management area. So very excited about that. That got completed at the end of this past year. Summers Beach State Park, of course, everyone's heard about that. We're very excited about that, we now have a new state park on Flathead Lake, so much needed. And then I mentioned earlier, we did a conservation easement with Stoltz Land and Lumber up near Olney on about a 1,000-acre piece of land, and we completed that last year as well. Some of the things that we have coming up, really our biggest one, is we're working on a recreation project, a trails project, with an organization called the Trust for Public Land. We're also working with another organization here in the Flathead Valley called Montana Land Reliance. And that project is the Big Fork Carroll Forest Community Trails Project. We're working to put about 4.5 miles of new trail on a piece of property just outside of downtown Big Fork. And eventually, Flathead Land Trust will own this property. It's a 236-acre property, and we'll own it for the community good. So that will also be protected through a conservation easement. It'll also include public access on this trail system. So very, very excited about that one.
Now, you also mentioned you're working on some things along the Flathead River near Kalispell.
We are. Yeah, I can't mention those by name yet because we're still in the works here. But I did want to allude to that. So, yeah, you know, a lot of our work involves land adjacent and alongside the Flathead River. And this is no exception. So this is going to be a little over 400 acres along the Flathead River, just west of Kalispell, along the braided section of the Flathead River. And we're very excited to be working with the landowner and other partners in conserving that property. So that is something to come. You'll hear more about that later this year, especially in October and November.
Well, we're excited to hear about that, and really pleased to know that you're able to make sure that for decades and decades to come, perhaps even centuries to come, we will have some of these lands still available here in the Flathead. From the Flathead Land Trust, Paul Travis, thank you so much for a great conversation this morning.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.